them out. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
Reaction rolling in as we discuss Jordan Love taking a step forward or backwards. Apparently, this is contested. As Jordan Love said, well, we won more games. So how is that taking a step back? What does taking a step back mean? Matt LaFleur weighing in on that yesterday as well when he was asked about his quarterback's production from year one to year two. Take a listen to the head coach.
I think it's funny. I think there's like a narrative out there that for whatever reason that he wasn't as productive as the year before. Well, I mean, he missed significant time. He missed the better of three games. Really, it was Indy, it was Tennessee. He went out in Jacksonville, and then he went out in Chicago. So three games is a significant amount of time.
Sure, but I can also break that down on a per-game basis for him if you'd like to see that. I mean, that's kind of the easy one to point out. When you take a look at Jordan Love on a per-game basis, like all the numbers are down across the board. Like the completion percentage is down. He went from 244.6 yards per game to 225.9 yards per game. The interceptions, he had threw 11 interceptions in 17 games, threw 11 interceptions in 15 games. So the interception percentage, that's up.
Why do they fight it? Why do they fight it? I mean, because the numbers ultimately don't lie.
Yeah. I mean, the touchdown percentage ends up going up. But again, it's also not even basing off of Jordan Love complete what he did in 2023. It's about those last eight games. It's about what we saw. And Pro Football Focus has a big-time throw statistic. That percentage also down from a year ago. So again, all these numbers, again, I can break it down on a per-game basis if that's what Matt LaFleur wants. But he wasn't as successful. He's still fine. But that's the level that in which he played last year is not a level that's going to get you to a Super Bowl unless you've got a ton of studs around you.
Correct.
Let's go into the comments on the Carbless talk and text line because I liked a lot of things that people are saying. Dave from Aaron says, if Love can be around 40 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 4,000 passing yards, but add 300 rushing yards, which he wasn't able to do last year, I think he will be in the top six of quarterbacks. And it is interesting, guys, because I got the quarterback stats in front of me right here on NFL.com. There is no one guy who excelled in all of those areas, right? Joe Burrow had the most passing yards. He had almost 5,000 passing yards last season, and he had a 70.6 completion percentage. But how are the Bengals? Right? Mm-hmm. You talk about having weapons around you, right? The Bengals obviously underperformed as a team, even though they had Joe Burrow under center. Let's go to Jalen Hurts, who led his team to the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts only had 2,900 passing yards because he runs the ball. Obviously, he's a threat to run. 63.1%. I'm trying to look at some of the other numbers. 25 touchdowns to 11 interceptions for him. So while that 40 touchdown number is nice, the guys who threw more than 40 touchdowns last year, Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, scrolling.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, 40 touchdowns is a lot of touchdowns.
It's a mixed bag.
It's so many touchdowns. Like, if he throws 40 touchdowns and only has 8 picks, guess what? That dude's an MVP candidate.
And Josh Jacobs was probably hurt because it's more efficient to run around the goal line. The reason the Bengals and Joe Burrow's number, they had one of the worst defenses all in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They're playing constantly from behind. Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you play from behind? You throw the ball a lot more. So you have to put it through some sort of context.
Give me a guy whose performance last year you would like to see from Jordan Love this year, and I'll give you his numbers across the board. Who's the guy? Just from your eye test, you watched him last season, and you went, that's a guy who did all the things right and can lead his team to the playoffs. Who is it?
That's realistic again.
Jared Goff?
Jared Goff.
46-29 as far as passing yards go. 72.4 completion percentage. 37 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. For a 111.8 passer rating.
Yeah, being that would be nice, but he doesn't even have to be that good. I don't think. You know? See, the things that... When we got the stat sheets, because you get this printout after the game, right? The first thing you look at for an offense is third down percentage. And I don't know, Holmgren had this weird number of 39. We have to be 39% on first. I don't know if that's changed because the game is different. I would imagine it's a little higher.
On third down?
Yes. So then we would go, then my eyes would go to red zone efficiency. How many times did we score touchdowns instead of kicking field goals? And then the next thing I would go to are my stats. I mean, I'm just being honest here. That's where I would go.
What did I
But those
do
are
in
the
this
two.
Game?
And I would think a quarterback would go completion percentage, obviously interceptions to touchdowns. He would also look at red zone efficiency. And those were the big numbers. Everything else is just kind of fluff.
So just so you know, Chewy, last year the Tampa Bay Buccaneers led the league in third down conversion rate, 50.9%.
I mean, that's crazy. Oh, and the other thing that we would look at is total yards. So when I played, anything over 350 was a good game. Anything under 350 was really didn't play too well. So those are the markers that we would look at when we get the printout. And he should do the same.
I mean, again, I think he can manipulate numbers. Aaron Rodgers last season, guys, do we think that Aaron Rodgers had a good year last year?
No.
Okay,
no.
Not by his standards.
Correct. No. But Aaron Rodgers had 38, almost 3,900 passing yards. He had 28 touchdowns to 11 interceptions for a 90.5 passer rating. If Jordan Love put those numbers together this season, would you be happy or disappointed?
They need to be better. Again, if you just want to be the 6 or 7 seed, yeah, that's fine. You can be the 6 or 7 seed doing that. But if you want to be a team that's threatening for the division and an actual Super Bowl contender, they got to be better.
So we've got somewhere between Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff's season last year.
With this rushing attack that they have, I would take 4,200 total yards, 30 touchdowns to 9 interceptions, and a completion percentage of 68. I would say that's a hell of a year. That's a really good year.
Eerily similar to Lamar Jackson.
I was about to say, suddenly now we're back
sans
to
the rushing.
We're back to MVP. Because, again, the Ravens were a team that were 31st in the league last year in passing attempts because they had Derrick Henry rush for over 1,900 yards. So Lamar, despite throwing the ball that little, still going up over 4,000 yards is incredibly impressive. 40 touchdowns, 4 picks. Like, again, if those are the numbers that Jordan Love is putting up, that's going to get you into the MVP conversation, which is fantastic. That's exactly where you probably need to get.
But he's been there. He's shown he could do it over that 8-game stretch. That's the thing. Like, well, it's in there.
But you know, Chew, 8 games ain't 17. Doing it consistently over the course of 4 months, that's the really tough part.
Yeah, but the more you do this stuff, Gabe, the better you should get.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The better you should get because things should be more recognizable to you. And then LaFleur, from a play calling standpoint, should be like, all right, I have a pretty good grip on what he can do and what he can't do. So we'll see.
I think here's what I came out of yesterday's availability, and it is early, and I know, Chewy, you are anti-gush. I have a lot of optimism about this team. I have a lot of reasons why I think they can do really good things. There are a few things that give me pause. The strength of the division is one of them. I got somebody weighing in on the Carbless Talk and text line this morning, Brian in the 920, saying, depending how the Vikings quarterback turns out, the Packers could have the worst quarterback in the division for the first time since the 1900s. That to me feels like an overreaction. That to me feels like too far. So, I have a lot of optimism.
So suddenly, when did Caleb Williams pass Jordan Love?
Yeah.
Did I miss that?
I
miss that?
Also, was 4-12 Brett Favre not the worst in the division that year?
Worst quarterback?
Yeah.
When they went 4-12.
Who was worse?
I have to go.
Well, I mean, record-wise, but like,
who else was quarterbacking in the
Brett
division
was still
that year?
Like, I mean, who would you rather have, Brett Favre or Rex Grossman?
How many wins am I getting? Do I get more than 4 wins? Trade him off for a year. It's also like we don't know. Jared Goff performs better. He's not an MVP guy. And that's what we're looking for Jordan Love.
Well, the
Love.
Ceiling, yes. The right. ceiling for Jared Goff.
Right.
But right now, Jared Goff is better.
Yeah. Proof's in the pudding.
Yeah.
I mean, I just did a quick Google search here, guys. Joey Harrington for the Detroit Lions and Jeff Blake for the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The old Tampa Bay.
Feels like I don't even know who Jeff Blake is.
Cincinnati Bengal yeah. legend is what he is.
Just feels like maybe, like you said, even though they had a crappy record.
Take my chance with the guy who just threw 29 picks.
Got him by a nose. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Top 8 at 8 coming up next. Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee is known for its endless ways to win. And Friday, June 27th, they are showing why that's the standard with the highly anticipated season finale blockbuster drawings. Watch your entries from Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless Bounty roll into drawings where $300,000 in cash and prizes is up for grabs. Be there to win your share June 27th only at Potawatomi. More information is available online. You must be 21 years old to play.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, do what I did. You hear Chewy and I talk about it all the time. The Jewelry Center, it's the only place to go for that diamond engagement ring. Best place to shop for a reason in Milwaukee for those diamond engagement rings. The reason why I think it is the great helpful team that they have. Yes, they have unbelievable selection, but that great helpful team always going to put you in the right direction. If you have an idea, maybe you can just kind of shop and peruse at any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Shop online, shoptjc.com. But if you don't have an idea, go to our Pinterest page, bring in some of those ideas, and that's where that helpful team at the Jewelry Center is not going to steer you wrong. Naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check them out, shoptjc.com. When you head to the Jewelry Center, tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pine.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we got, Gabe?
Brewers have been hot, so we go to the land of the Milwaukee Brewers. List 8 things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, sometimes we throw a mulligan in there. We open it up to the fans, 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. So with the walk-offs recently, I was thinking and compiled a list. This is the most walk-off hits in the history of American Family Field / Miller Park. So since that building opened, the most walk-off hits. Top 8.
So Ryan, like yesterday, Braun, yes. Number 1 with a bullet.
Ryan Braun is tied for first with 8.
Oh, hey. I have vivid memories of many of those. These are walk-off hits.
Walk-off hits. And again, I was just going to qualify. Again, it has to be a base hit. It cannot be like yesterday, Caleb Durbin hit a walk-off sack fly. That is not included in this list. Walk-off sack flies, anything like that, has to be a base hit.
I just remembered, Yelly, you said that was his first. Oh, that was his first dinger, though, right?
Walk-off, that was correct. First walk-off home.
I would guess, Yelly.
Go, Yelly.
Yelich is one of the 4 players tied for fourth with 4.
Wait, what? 4 players tied for fourth?
Yep, with 4.
Whoa.
So
who are
Yelich
the other ones? Wait, time out. Do they count on the list? They're on the list? The ones that
mean?
Are tied?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to give us the whole line of 4.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. I didn't know if that was part of the list. So they are also on the list. Got it.
Correct. Because they're tied
Good
for 4.
Good stall tactic. That was solid.
I don't need to stall.
Is this the first time you've played this game?
Yes, obviously.
Great
this is the
stall.
First time I've played this game. I think Prince Fielder's got to be on this list.
He is tied for first with Braun. He has 8
walk-off hits. I didn't realize he was tied for first. Jeez.
Go Richie Sexton.
Ooh, that's a good guess.
Richie Sexton.
Yeah, it's not Sexton.
Yeah.
We're not Sexton over here.
Richie only had two walk-off hits. He is not on the list.
Oh, darn it.
Not a good guess.
I thought it was going to be on the list. I'm sorry. Prince Fielder, Ryan Braun. Bill Hall.
Bill Hall, six walk-off hits, including three dingers. He's number three on the list.
Who would be tied for one?
Well, Prince, he said.
Yeah, I just said Prince.
Oh, okay.
I think it's your guess, right, Chu?
I'm out.
Oh, we're not mulliganing?
Yeah, because he already got one right, so. Usually the mulligan comes into play when you've really choked in.
Third base.
I don't know.
Who's on first? Is that what we're doing here?
It's...
I'm trying to think of guys who would have played at Miller Park. Like a Jeff Jenkins?
There you go.
He's not a third baseman. Yeah, but Jeff Jenkins, he is one of those ones with four, tied with
Nailed
Christian
it.
Yetlin.
All right, so how many do we have so far?
You got five.
Well, that's
Gabe, how don't you know I wasn't referring to when he dislocated his ankle sliding into third base?
Oh, well, I thought you were talking about third basemen. I mean, I don't think nobody.
Also, wasn't
when
that second or was it third?
It was third. Oh, it was okay. Definitely third. But again, when you say third base and you're talking about. Like, that'd be like me calling, you know, oh, there's a tackle. And then the answer is you. Well, he used to combo block all the time with the tackle. Why didn't you get that?
It's because I'm a deep thinker. Only deep thinkers get the way I think. All right, I'm out.
How about Jonathan Lucroy?
Jonathan Lucroy, just on the outside. Lucroy had three.
Darn it.
Just outside.
So it's all those fours.
All those fours.
Jamming up the bottom half of this list. Mm-hmm. All right, 800-990-3776. Gabe, go ahead and reset the list while we wait for callers to play top 8 at 8.
We are looking for the most walk-ups in the history of American Family Field / Miller Park. Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder, tied for first with eight. Bill Hall had six walk-off hits. Jeff Jenkins and Christian Yelich had four. Each leaving three more in that T4 slot.
800-990-3776. Looking for you, Brewers fans, to finish our top 8 at 8 list. We're looking for walk-off hits. Ryan Braun and Prince Fielder lead the category, but a bunch of people tied for fourth with four. That's why it's tough. It's not like this big, glaring number.
Kind of feels like one of those awards where you were just there long enough, you ended up with enough of them. And the guys that separate are the good players.
Yeah, so Braun has like 12 at-bats, so like sack flies and things like that, you know, fielder's choice. Prince has eight, and all eight were hits. Which is just kind of cool. Kind of a cool little note.
Joshy is working the phone
lines.
But
there's no trick names here. I will say that. These are all names that you are very familiar with.
Go out to Mike in Waukesha. He's up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Mike, can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Would Ricky Weeks be one of them?
Ricky Weeks is one of them. Had four walk-off hits.
Mm-hmm. Disappointed in myself on that one. Mike, you want to keep rolling?
What about Corey Hart?
Corey Hart is another one. Four nice. Walk-off hits for Corey Hart. Three of his four were walk-off home runs.
Good for him.
Leaving just one more.
All right. One more. Wouldn't it be Niger Morgan, would it?
It would not be Niger Morgan. Oh. Although he had like two or three in the 1 year he was in Milwaukee. He had a lot.
I feel like they did that for one of his bobbleheads. I can picture him like...
Yeah, because he had the walk-off hit in the playoff game, in Game 5, that got him to the NLCS back in 2011.
Let's go out to Q in Greenfield. Q, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Hey, with Corey Hart back?
Yeah, Corey Hart was said. He was a correct answer, so we're just looking for the last one.
I feel like it'll be somebody older. What about Jeremy Burnett?
Jeremy Burnett's two walk-off hits inside American Family Field. Ah. That is incorrect. Probably had a couple more because he also played inside County Stadium.
That's what I was thinking. Justin, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
Yeah, can you reset it real quick?
All right, Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder tied for first with 8. Bill Hall, third with 6. And then a punch here, tied for 4 with 4th. Corey Hart, Ricky Weeks, Jeff Jenkins, Christian Yelich, leaving just this name as the last one, T4 with 4.
I'm going to say Bagwell.
Oh, Jeff Bagwell. That's a good guess.
Bagwell?
No. Did he play for the Brewers? I didn't even remember that.
Bagwell?
No. In order to have a walk-off hit inside American Family Field, turns out you need to play for the Brewers.
I wonder if there are any players from the division who would have a requisite, like who had a lot of walk-offs, like a Cub or a Cardinal maybe. But that's not the list we're looking for.
What the hell are you talking about?
He's saying that they played there so frequently because they were in the division and they were a clutch player who hit a lot of walk-offs if they'd be on the list. But I think Gabe's list is exclusively Brewers.
Yeah, but because the only way to walk it off is in the bottom of the inning.
It's true.
You have to play for that team.
Seems like a
David Ortiz. David Ortiz.
Overlooking.
Yeah, this is. Turns out to walk it off, you have to be the home team. Therefore, you have to play for the Brewers. Again, although they did host a couple of series where the Brewers weren't playing, a few times, like when one of the Hurricanes had hit down in Florida, but that is not included on this list.
The Carlos Zambrano game?
Yes, correct.
That was famously a no-hitter.
Yeah.
Let's go on to Dana in Bayview. You're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
Would it be Greg Vaughn?
It is not Greg Vaughn. Greg Vaughn never played inside American Family Field or Miller
Park.
Still
was a good guess because he was a Brewer.
He was a Brewer. Hey. It's a step in the right direction, Chew. It is a step in the
direction. Jordan Love, apparently. I'm just going to keep guessing Killer Bees over here. Lance Berkman. Craig Biggio. 800-990-3776. Adam in Cudahy, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
I don't know. I feel like I'm reaching here, but let's go with Lyle Overbay.
Lyle Overbay. I thought he had more, too. Only had two.
Ah!
Two walk-offs inside American Family Field.
Good guess.
Let's go out to Howard and Sherman Park.
Hey, we're getting closer again. Baby steps getting closer to the answer.
Howard, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete the top 8-8 list?
Probably not, but we'll try. Adamas Ramirez.
Aramis Ramirez had two walk-off hits as a member of the Brewers inside AmFam Field.
Getting closer. We're eliminating options. Ben and Franklin. Wow, Ben and Franklin is funny. John and Adams. You're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
Good morning. Is it Craig Counsell?
Craig Counsell had a lot of walk-off moments. He actually only had one walk-off hit. Had a couple sack flies, had an error in there. So Craig Counsell is incorrect.
Let's go out to Josh. Josh, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
Yeah, is it Carlos Gomez?
It is not Carlos Gomez.
I feel like Gabe might have gave a little hint there on accident.
Yeah, I did.
I didn't even hear what he said.
It was subtle, but it was just a quick reaction that I had. So I inadvertently had given a clue there.
I didn't even hear it. I was looking over at the call sheet, didn't even catch the clue. 800-990-3776. Brandon in Greendale, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We are looking for one more answer on our top 8-8 list. Do you have it?
Is it Lorenzo Cain?
It is not Lorenzo Cain. Lorenzo had one walk-off hit inside American Family Field.
Tom in Hales Corners. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
Willie Adames?
Willie did not get into this category. I think he had two walk-off hits.
Ah,
this is crazy town. Brandon in Mayville, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Keep the phone lines going, guys. It doesn't feel like we are going to nail this anytime soon.
Is it Carlos Lee?
El Caballo, Carlos Lee with 4 walk-off hits, closes out the top 8 today.
The hint was Gabe almost said you're right when Carlos came out for Carlos Gomez.
So I knew it was either a Carlos or a Ramos.
Raymond.
But now I see why Joshy was saying, well, maybe it was somebody who hit a lot of walk-offs from another team, because Carlos Lee obviously played for a long time. Where? Chicago?
Played for the White Sox for a while, bounced around after he
was
with the Brewers.
He was an Astro?
Astro for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. El Caballo. Carlos Lee. Four walk-off hits.
Goodless.
I mean, I had fun. Anytime I can get
down memory lane.
Anytime I can get more than one, I'm like, that's a win.
And you got the top two.
Well, that's from the Chewy school of thought, by the way.
You got the 9%.
That's a win.
Again, yeah. It's all about, you know, setting realistic expectations. That's important in goal setting, Jen.
Looking for a home can be a lot of things. Stressful, time-consuming, and expensive. But looking for a home should be an exciting chapter in your life. That's why we work with the We Sell Group at Keller Williams. They know this. Their passion is people. And their passion is helping you find the home of your dreams or selling the home that you're currently in. Listen, guys, we have been working with them and they have been so good with the attention to detail, with giving us options, with narrowing them down. They recognize that buying a home is a big deal and can be a long process. And that is why we feel so good having them with us along for the ride. The We Sell Group selling process makes sure that the best and most competitive offers are made on your home as well. So get started on your stress-free journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought
Salvation
every time
Army.
That they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong.
He's
not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chewy!
Yeah.
How do you feel about turkey?
The country or the bird?
That's exactly the question I was hoping that you would ask, my friend. In this case, I am referring to the country. Because turkey, well, they are putting their foot down. They are locking things up. In Turkey, passengers who get out of their seat on an airplane before the plane has stopped taxiing or crowd the aisle before it's their row's turn will now face fines.
I love it. I've been to Turkey. Istanbul is the nicest airport in the world, or at least the nicest I've ever been to. And I can tell you this, Europeans are much more efficient in loading and deplaning than Americans are.
Okay.
I mean, they get on, they sit down, they get their bags up. When the flight lands, they're moving. I just find it much more efficient. And I think this is evidenced by it, right? They want to get up, get out, and move along.
Well, so apparently there were issues. There were a lot of people who were disregarding the rules. Now, again, these are social rules, right? There's no rule that says...
Not anymore.
Well, that's what I was going to say is they have taken it up a notch now by making it doctrine, if you will. And I got to say, man, you really must be screwing up. You really must be effing up in order for some committee to decide, you know what we got to get a handle on? Deplaning. Deplaning is a mess right now, Gabe. We need to stop this madness. We need to put rules in place. We're going to find them. We're going to find the people who don't recognize that you are supposed to go row by row by row and that by standing up in the middle of the aisle when you're in 26 does no good.
I mean, you guys travel more than I do. Yeah, so Chewy's flying back, you know, back and forth. Jen, you got to travel all the time for stories. Like, yeah, I travel 2-3 times a year, tops. Sometimes it's you know, it's not even at all. I'd love to see this here. I'd love to see, you know, American Airlines or Southwest go, yeah, we're going to get a handle on this now. We're going to, yeah, if it works out in Turkey, let's do it here, that you could get fined if you just don't follow what the protocols are so we can get on and off this plane in a timely and organized fashion.
So it sounds like we, the collective, would be more inclined to use an airline like this? Do you think that most people would? Like Southwest is going through something right now, too, where they are now adding bag fees, mm-hmm. right? Forever it was bags fly free, but now they're not going to fly free anymore. And people have said, well, I'm not flying Southwest anymore. And I'm going, but now you got to pay for bags everywhere else. It's not like it's not like there's some other airline where you're not paying for bags. So for those who are saying that they are boycotting Southwest because they are now just catching up with everyone else, it's weird logic. I don't get it. In this instance, are you more likely to fly an airline that is has punishments, is penalizing this type of behavior, or are you less likely to fly an airline that is punitive in this way, too?
I think I'd be more likely to fly the airline. See, when I fly, I don't try to be a hindrance to anyone else. Get my bag and go. And I told you guys when I flew down here, I don't know, last week, I mean, there's a lady who's next to get off the plane is talking to a friend of hers in the seat in our row for a good time. I'm like, what are you doing? People want to get off the plane. People don't give a crap other than themselves. Even when I go to the grocery store, I'm like, am I to the side? Can people get by me? Is my cart in the way so they get? People are just like, isn't it lovely? You know? I think that's great. They should do it. And I would fly that airline more if they did fine people for being
stupid. I think it's
stupid.
Important to make a distinction here. Every Turkish airline is now going to be living these
fines. So it's
a
government thing.
It's a governmental thing. Like their Department of Transportation, whatever they call it there, has deemed it such an issue. It kind of feels like it might just be a pet project of the person running it. But I think the result is mostly good. Unless you start to want to be concerned about governmental overreach. But other than that, like, it's crazy that we've gotten to a spot where we've had to have somebody step in and say, hey, abide by the social norms, please.
Yes.
Be considerate of other people. be considerate of the people around you and don't treat the world like it is just your oyster and you're able to do whatever you want, how you want.
So is it on the airline staff then? Is it up to the stewardesses to go, okay, well, person sitting over there in C5, they were kind of getting up a little bit earlier and you're just kind of jotting notes down of who's violating these protocols?
I suppose. I read a little bit of the article. They didn't detail how it fully was going to be executed. But yeah, I would imagine it is on the people on the plane to then report back to the people who are able to
issue
tickets.
Well, on some level, guys, this is not just an inconvenience. It is a safety issue because according to the article on USA Today, the passengers are standing in the aisle and opening the overhead compartments before the plane has even gotten to the gate. So the plane is still moving and they are up out of their seats and they are reaching for luggage that if they mishandle could fall on someone's, we're talking about legitimate safety, or you hit the brakes real quick and all of a sudden that person goes flying. Then there's a part of it that's like, hey, they don't just do this arbitrarily. Some of this is literally for your safety and the safety of your fellow passengers. But you're right. My question to you is this. So Turkey's doing it. Is that enough of a deterrent, Turkey doing it, to keep people in the States from stepping out of line? Because process could be, well, this could be next, and we could be next, and they could start doing this here.
I mean, throughout the course of the 5 years we've been doing this show, there have been, how many different airline stories of people just not giving a rip about anybody else around them, right? And I can't imagine that those people, the ones that are being the most inconsiderate, are even aware of this story. That are even aware that Turkey is going to be doing something like this, or a country can even do something like this. For whatever reason, in this country, we just lose all sense of everything when we hop on an airplane or go to an airport. It is crazy town to me that people just kind of lose all of that sense when they head into an airport.
What do you think that is? Do you think it's just an uncomfortable situation, Chew, and so people's nervous systems just go awry? They just go,
no. Yeah. People generally, all they care about is themselves.
Yep.
That's it. They care less, you know? If I want to take my shoes off, I can on the plane. If I want to talk on my phone with the speaker on, I can. If I want to watch a movie without headsets in, I can.
Well, and a lot of airplanes have made that a rule, too. Now when I get on the airplane, they are announcing, and please remember that if you choose to watch your entertainment on your personal device, you must be wearing headphones,
I mean,
or we
Jen,
will
Jen,
Oh,
but do you really need to be told that?
It's amazing to me. You would think
Do you really need to be
but
told
every that? Blue-haired lady I see walking down the aisles of the grocery store or Marshall's talking on their speakerphone indicates yes.
Yeah,
indicates yes.
It's selfishness. The important thing here to realize is in an air a flight or in a train or on a bus is where all this stuff happens. And what are we doing there? We're interacting with other people in a situation we typically wouldn't. So it becomes such a glaring issue because you realize some people live like heathens. They have no concern for anyone else. Right.
Yeah.
You're forced to commingle in these situations where there are social norms and behaviors that are accepted and not accepted. And they just become so glaring because on a plane now, I have 300 other people and five of them are going to be acting a fool. That's just how people are.
And let me tell you another thing, all right? When I get on a plane, I'm probably in the top 5% is the biggest guy on the plane. And I refuse to put my seat...
Who are you flying with, Giannis?
Yeah.
Who are the other people? Yeah,
I think it's
1%. Safe to say, yes, you're in the 1% there, pal.
And I do not put my seat back because I think it's rude.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's rude. And you have these idiots on there, you know, that just like keep leaning back, because they don't care. God, I wish I lived in the Wild West.
Just pull out your six shooter. What
I don't think you do, pal.
Duels?
Yeah, because here's the problem with you and duels.
Die from diarrhea.
you're just a large target for duels, bud. Like I don't know if you're. I mean, yeah, you probably have your fair share that you won, but
Gabe,
you're
I'm
a bigger
stealthy.
Guy.
I am stealthy.
But a duel, like you're just pacing in the middle of town. Like there's nothing for you to hide behind. Guy's just got a bigger target to shoot at.
He's like it's Shaq fair. Hiding behind the tree in that meme. That's what you are, buddy.
You're also like 500% more likely to die from dysentery. So is that worth it?
Oh, yeah, in the Wild Wild West?
Yes.
Will Smith?
There's nothing like a good clean out, though, Joshy.
I don't think dysentery is good for that.
Nope.
Somebody didn't play enough Oregon Trail when they were growing up, and it shows.
Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll, the Infinity Exteriors Twitter poll. Are you in favor of airlines fining people who get out of their seat before it is their row's turn or who are up out of their seat while the plane is still moving? Let us know on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors Twitter account.
There's no better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now because Pella Windows and Doors is offering up to 6 years of 0% financing. And, of course, I was going to take advantage of 6 years, 0% financing. My wife and I moved into the house, been looking, okay, do we need to replace that front door? I don't know if Pella's going to be offering 6 years, 0% financing. Got to take advantage. Had their team come in for a free in-home consultation, committed to nothing, kind of went through the different options, found a door and a style that we really liked for our house. And we made that dream of what that should look like become a reality. And now we're getting 0% financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions apply. Deal ends May 31st. Coming up quick, May 31st, 2025. So visit PellaWI.com today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What was a rebound? Rebound? What'd you just say?
Robust.
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 You could say robust. Rebound. Doesn't robust sound like a nice rebound. Word of saying just a click below fat?
No, buddy, you're not fat.
Well,
you're
there's
rebound.
Well, Charles Barkley.
There's another
round mound of rebound.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go. So get your best face on. Everybody pretend you know this song. Everybody come hang.
This is an ad by BetterHelp for Mental Health Awareness Month. BetterHelp surveyed 1,600 people, 16,000 people actually, across 23 countries for its first ever State of Stigma report. They found that while 75% of people recognize the value of seeking support and therapy, only 27% of Americans are actually doing it. BetterHelp is trying to change those numbers. With more than 35,000 therapists available, they are the world's largest online therapy platform, having served more than 5 million people globally. It is convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, and it will fit into your busy life, and you can switch therapists at any time. We are all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout, and you'll get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/timeout. I'm out. We didn't even get to Xavier McKinney talking about Jair. I guess we spoke briefly about Jair with Jason Wilde this morning. Maybe we didn't. Holy moly. So the Jair Alexander situation continues to linger on, but Xavier McKinney did come to his, I don't want to say defense, I don't know if he needs a defense, but basically saying, like, they've been working out, they've been talking, he wants him on the team, Gabe. Does that endorsement change your position at all of whether or not you think he will be on the roster?
No, because whatever the players have to say, I think rarely have factored into what Brian Gutekunst does. Because how many guys loved Aaron Jones, wanted Aaron Jones on the team?
Mm-hmm.
Still got a low-ball contract offer. Aaron Rodgers, very vocal in his support for Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson. Deuces, guys. Not even worth a conversation. So rarely do whatever the players say factor into what the GM does.
Agree. It's the only thing he could say. What's he going to say? Hey, look, the guy's a jerk. Don't sign him.
Well, but they're, I mean, they are. He did say that they've got a really good personal relationship. That they have they've become pretty close in his time in Green Bay.
Every day that this passes, Chu, I feel more confident that he is going to be on this team starting at corner in the fall.
I do not. I go the other way. The offer couldn't have been good enough, or like Gabe said yesterday, it would have been signed already. It's not. They're shopping it. And which would lead, you think it's a lowball offer? I would think someone might jump at it if it's $6 million guaranteed. I mean, I would. I would, because I still think he's that good a player.
The conversation continues on Wilde and Tausch right now on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.